Welcome again to Park Church. It's good to see you here this morning. I'll say it again. Happy Mother's Day. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Park Church. I get to preach occasionally. I'm not the main preacher. He's away this weekend, but I get to preach occasionally, and I'm happy to do it. Right now, we're in the middle of a series of sermons that's called The Hidden Treasure, Discovering God's Spirit Within. The idea behind this series is for those who believe in Christ, we've received God's forgiveness and salvation from the mess that we've made of our lives. But God also gives us a great treasure, the Holy Spirit. This is His presence with us to live inside of our hearts. One of the issues, though, is that we don't know a lot about the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about it enough, and so we don't know enough about it, and so we're not in touch with what His Spirit can do and is doing in our lives. We miss out on the Spirit's power to convict us of sin. Last week, we heard about how we miss out on the Spirit's power to transform us and to grow us as Christ followers. And what happens is we can become caught thinking and believing that God is nowhere to be found, really. When really, God is closer than we can even imagine, because His Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. What we want to do with this series is kind of hidden all in the imagery. We want to unearth that hidden treasure inside of us, and you can discover that power on your own. That's what we're doing together as a community. This morning, our subject is one that is actually a very everyday type of subject for people who are following Christ, but it's also one that's easily misunderstood. And that subject is hearing God. How do you hear God's voice? I bet this question has crossed your mind at least once in your life, probably all the time. You have a decision to make. Do I go down road A or do I go down road B? What does God have to say to this decision? How can I hear what He wants from me? What's His voice on the matter? Maybe sometimes you feel like God's voice is telling you to do this or to not do that, to go here or try this. How do you know it's God's voice saying that? How do you distinguish God's voice from your own voice or from the other voices that speak to your heart and to your mind? And for this series on the Holy Spirit, the particular question is, if God's Spirit lives inside of you, then it would only make sense that God's Spirit is really involved in speaking to you. So what role does God's Spirit play in helping you hear God's voice or empowering you to hear God's voice? These are the questions I want to answer or look at this morning. Answer is a tough word. How do you hear God's voice? The answer to this question really matters, doesn't it? No matter what age or place you are in life, if you're trying to follow Christ and live in obedience to God and trust in God, the sort of decision where you want to hear God's voice comes up countless times. What should I do with my life? Should I take this job or should I take that one? Should I get married? Who should I marry? Should we have kids? How many kids? Once the kids are grown up and they're adults, how soon should I intervene in my kids' really bad decisions as adults? What does God want me to do with my aging parents? How does God want me to treat my brothers and sisters as adults? These are big questions that you seek God's voice to help you answer. A lot of times these questions fall under the big umbrella of what's called God's will. What is God's will in this matter or in that one? If you could hear God's voice clearly, you'd know His will and His decision, and that would be clear and easy to make decisions. But have you ever had a decision to make like this, or a feeling that you need to act on something, and you're paralyzed with the fear that somehow you'd miss God's will because you've mistaken God's voice? I want to give some good news this morning. You don't have to be too afraid of that, because God's voice is actually a lot easier to hear than you might have thought. You just have to know where to look and where to listen. But that's the problem, isn't it? A lot of people who are earnestly and honestly and vigorously trying to follow Jesus don't know how and where to listen to God's voice. So I want to start by looking at what Jesus has to say specifically about this, and really about the role that the Holy Spirit plays in this. Listen to this word from Christ. Jesus says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Spirit speaks. He speaks to us, and he guides us into all the truth. So how do we hear that Spirit? The most common answer that we have in sort of American Christianity is you hear God speaking in your heart, right? I want to spend some time on this answer because this answer is both slightly true, but also fairly dangerous. Here's the line of thinking. Christ dwells in your heart through faith. This is a clear idea in Ephesians throughout the New Testament. And he does this seemingly through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so it only makes sense if you want to hear God's voice, you have to learn to hear God's Holy Spirit's voice in your heart. This is how the thinking goes. You have to learn to discern God's voice from amongst all the other voices in there. And if you've ever tried to do this, you know how hard it is, because there's a lot of voices that are speaking in there. I've got to be careful about pointing to my heart. You have your own voice inside of your heart, right? It tries to tell you what's best and what to do, but maybe somewhere in your Christian formation, you've probably learned not to lean on your own understanding and not to lean on your own will, but instead on God's will, so you've learned to try to ignore your own voice in your heart. And that's weird and confusing. You have other people's voices floating around in your heart. You have your parents' voices. You have the experiences, the people who have made you into who you are, their voices are somewhere in there speaking. These things shape our lives and color what goes on inside of us. Somewhere in our Christian world, we've heard that Satan, the devil, he speaks too. Satan's got a voice in there floating around. He's trying to tempt you to go the wrong way. You have Satan's voice in there, and you want to ignore that one. You have other voices. You have culture's voice. You have the media. You have society's expectations on you. The advertising industry speaks right to our hearts. Peer pressure. And then you have God's voice. God's voice is in there too. It's really hard to distinguish. It's probably subtle, a still small voice. It gets drowned out by these louder voices. Which voice is which? The anxiety that is created by trying to iron out which of those voices is which can become completely troubling. The good news is that you don't have to figure out which of those voices is which, because they're all your voice. The voices, at least your appropriation of these voices, they're all your own. God doesn't speak to us by putting his voice in our hearts in such a way that his is one among many, forcing us to decipher which one it is. Why doesn't he do that? Because God doesn't want it to be tricky for us to hear him. He knows that we're simply not good enough listeners to him, to others, to ourselves. We get too easily confused about what God's will is because our will gets in the way. And without God first shaping our hearts, we would doubt every step of the way. And let me show you what I mean. You have a decision to make. Do I stay with my current job or do I move on to something new? What does God want from me? You pray for an answer. You ask God to give you guidance on the matter, and so you search your heart for what God might be saying to you. On one hand, maybe in there, God is telling you to stay at your current job. It's good to be loyal. You've developed relationships there that are good. God is using you at the place that you're at. Maybe you should stay there. But is that just because you're afraid to take a risk and try something new? Because God can surely use you in that new place too. Now, on the other hand, you know your new job is a risk, but maybe it's just the sort of leap of faith that God is calling you to take. And so if you stay with your current job, you're really just being a coward and don't have enough faith, and you'll miss out on God's will. But on the other hand, again, maybe taking that new job is just selfish ambition, and you need to be more humble. This sort of back and forth debate inside of ourselves, listening to the voices that go on in our heart, this can go on forever. Which voice is God's? Which is your own? Satan's. Which one? And so you get frustrated, but you don't give up. You discern and keep praying, and finally you get a feeling that one of those voices in there, you think that's God's voice, even if you're not totally sure, and so you take the new job. And the new job is a disaster. I've made a huge mistake. Either you've discerned the wrong voice inside of yourself, you really listened to another voice floating around in there and not God's voice, or maybe God has led you down the wrong path. Why did God do this to me, you say? I was trying to listen to you, God, and this is where you led me. What the heck? This little fictitious and abbreviated scenario is fairly commonplace, right? I bet all of us have lived some version of this at some point. But notice what happens to you when you try to listen to God's voice like this. The first thing in doing what you've discerned God has told you to do and experiencing such a negative outcome, what has happened is at least the seed of distrust in God has been planted. God, how could you lead me this way? Don't you want what's best for me? Can you really be trusted? Or, if you can be trusted, why did you make it so hard to hear? In my time in ministry, I've had many conversations with people who have done the thing that they felt God was calling them to do, and it ended up being a disaster, and they've abandoned God, abandoned their faith because of this. In trying to decipher God's voice from your own, from society's voice, from Satan's voice, you've confused the whole thing. But they're all your voice, and so rather than taking responsibility for your own decision-making, the negative outcome becomes God's fault, or it becomes your fault for failing God in some way. This is an ugly scenario. The second thing to notice when you try to listen to God's voice in your heart is that all of those voices get jumbled up and mixed up. And what happens is you lose the ability to know your own voice. What are your own feelings on the matter? What's your own heart saying? It's important to know yourself, to know your own heart and mind. God gives us hearts and minds and feelings and wants us to know ourselves because he wants us to be responsible for the decisions that we do make. So we have to be able to recognize our own hearts on the matter. And this is weird because God also tells us in Jeremiah that the heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? God says. We need to have self-knowledge because the thoughts of our own hearts can downright lead us the wrong way. They can deceive us. And so they might not always be right, but the more we're able to recognize them as what they are, our own, and not dismiss them as Satan's voice, or not blindly follow them as the voice of the Spirit, the more we'll be able to listen honestly to them and make better informed adult decisions for ourselves. But listening to your own heart, that contributes to self-knowledge, not to knowledge of God. And here's really the third thing that you notice in trying to listen to God's voice in your heart. In trying to listen to it only there, you miss God's voice where he really speaks. And that's the main point of everything that I want to say this morning. If you listen to God's voice only in your heart, you will miss where God really speaks. So how in faith do we hear God's voice? It's not inside of us, it's outside of us. Look at the answer that Paul gives in Romans. He writes, so faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. Faith, which is the response to hearing God, believing in him, and then trusting him, faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes from outside of yourself, not from inside of your heart. Notice, though, the bad idea is not listening to the voice of your own heart, because you need that to know yourself. The bad idea is listening to the voice of your own heart and thinking that's God's voice. To hear God's voice, you have to listen to a word that comes from outside of yourself. Think about the way that this works in the Bible. God comes to people externally. He does it sometimes in dreams, in visions, speaks directly and audibly and obviously to people. You know, all of the stories in the Old Testament about God speaking to Adam and Eve, or God speaking to people, these are not stories of them imagining God speaking in their heart. These are obvious visions, dreams, things like that. God uses wild ways in the Old Testament, right? He speaks to Moses out of a burning bush. He speaks to Job out of a whirlwind. There's a guy named Balaam where he opens the mouth of a donkey and speaks through a donkey's voice, God's word on a donkey's mouth. He sends angels, he sends messengers to speak his word. These are all ways that God speaks to people from outside of themselves. Think about hearing God's word in the time of the prophets. People didn't go around listening to their own hearts for what God had to say. The prophets were out there preaching God's word. They were saying, thus says the Lord. And the Spirit would speak through the prophets, the voice of God to his people. And that hasn't changed much today. God still speaks externally to us. Except now God's word isn't so much found in burning bushes and donkeys and whirlwinds. Instead, it's found here. It's found in Scripture. It's found in communities and people where God's word in Scripture is taken up and spoken. The word of Christ that Paul says in Romans. And this is essentially what Jesus is saying in that passage there in John 2. The Spirit doesn't just say anything, taking this job or that one. He takes what is mine, what is Christ's, the message about him, the good news, and he declares it to us. Throughout the New Testament, it's abundantly clear about what this word of Christ is. It is the good news about Christ, as attested in Holy Scripture. This is how the Spirit speaks. Park Church has a statement of faith. And I want you to hear the very first two lines of the statement of faith. If you've been to a membership class, you might remember this. The statement of faith is, Jesus Christ, as he is attested for us in Holy Scripture, is the one word of God which we have to hear and which we have to trust and obey in life and death. As the Holy Spirit bears witness to him through the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, the Bible is our authoritative guide for all matters of faith and practice. What that's saying, and what Paul tells us in Romans and Jesus says in John, is that as Christ followers, and we as people for whom the hidden treasure dwells inside of us, we ironically don't look deep inside of our hearts to hear what God is saying to us. Instead, we open the words of Scripture to hear God's voice. What has happened for a lot of Christians is that in the absence of angels and talking donkeys and audible voices, we've turned inward to hear God rather than outward to God's word. What this means is that you're free from having to guess which voice inside of you is God's voice, because you can hear God's voice whenever you want. Just open Scripture. So the question then, which will occupy the rest of our time, is what role does the Holy Spirit play in speaking God's voice to you? The first thing I want to say is what the Spirit does in us, inside of us. As we read Scripture, as we commit it to memory, as we hear it read on Sundays or in small groups, It finds a place to live inside of us, in our hearts and in our minds. This, the Holy Spirit uses this scripture to transform us. The scripture is what renews our minds to shape our hearts differently than we were shaped before. So when we read Christ's commands to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you, sometimes we find ourselves being more forgiving, more loving, more willing to extend the olive branch. That transformation, that's the Holy Spirit shaping our hearts according to God's word. When we call to mind Paul's beautiful pictures of how God has forgiven sinners like us, we find ourselves seeing other sinners loved just like that, and we love them too. That transformed vision, that's the work of the Holy Spirit shaping our eyes by the word of Christ. As we hear, as we read the word of Christ in Scripture, it gets inside of us, it dwells in our minds and our hearts, and the Holy Spirit speaks through it to change us. Now, does that give you an answer as to what job you should take? No, probably not. But maybe God has less of an opinion on that question than we want to give him credit for. Maybe God cares less about which job you take, and he cares more about how you take the job, how you live in your job. There's a book that I have that's called The Will of God as a Way of Life. Less about which job to take and more about how to live life. It's a great book. What the Spirit does is shapes us into people who are more Christ-like and Spirit-filled, who have more Christ-like and Spirit-filled hearts, who make more Christ-like and Spirit-filled decisions, and who do things in a more Christ-like and Spirit-filled ways. That's how the Spirit of God speaks God's voice to us, not by giving us answers to our personal questions, but rather by changing us from the inside out through Scripture. The second thing I want to say, after I get that out, the second thing I want to say about how the Spirit speaks God's voice to us through Scripture is that he doesn't just do it as we read it ourselves on our own. The Spirit also uses the words and the voices of others in the Christian community, in the church, to speak God's word to you. There are two parallel passages in Ephesians and Colossians. Paul wrote both of these that sets this up. Take a look up there. The Ephesians passage says, "Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts." In Colossians, he writes very similar, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God." When we kind of look at these two passages in parallel and take out the parts with the song, with the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you see these two instructions there side by side. And when you put them in parallel, you realize they sort of mean the same thing. To be filled with the Spirit is in some way to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and to hear from one another what the word of Christ is in all wisdom. This is what happens when we come together as Christians. The you in these passages, it's not singular, it's plural. It's you guys, teach and admonish one another. What Paul is saying is that as we together allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, we are filled with the Spirit and we can speak the word to one another. It's why we gather for worship here on Sundays week after week. Because somehow through the feeble words that the preacher says, somehow through the words of the person who prays and the person who leads communion, through the words of our hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, somehow here the Spirit is present and speaks God's word to one another. And that doesn't just happen on Sundays. That's meant to happen throughout the week in community groups. It happens whenever two or three are gathered in Christ's name. He is present in the power of his Spirit and can speak his word to you through others. That's why For those of us who are following Christ, we cannot neglect to meet regularly for worship. It's why we need to hear God's word from one another. It's why it's really impossible to be a Christian without a Christian community around you. The last thing I want to say about how the Spirit enables us to hear God's voice, particularly if this is through other people, is that it is the role of the Spirit to open us up to hear God's word in a way that we couldn't hear otherwise. We cannot force ourselves to hear. We cannot force ourselves to believe. We cannot give ourselves ears to hear. Only the Spirit does this. There's a very short story in the book of Acts in the New Testament that illuminates this. Paul is on one of his missionary journeys, and he goes to speak to a group of women who are doing their work. And he shares with them the good news of Jesus, and one woman, Lydia, it says, the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul, and she was baptized soon after. The rest of those women, we don't know. It didn't say that God opened their hearts to hear the gospel and to receive it that day, but Lydia did, simply because the Lord opened her heart to hear the word. I remember when this happened to me. One day, I was not a Christian. The word of Christ, the gospel, as I had heard it, didn't do anything to me, didn't do anything for me. And the next day, I found myself believing, and really believing. I didn't trick myself. I didn't get convinced. The Spirit just opened my heart to believe. This is what the Spirit does. He opens our hearts to what our hearts were closed to before. This is why we need to always be reading Scripture, continually placing ourselves under its power and its words. We never know how the Spirit will take the word and put it into our hearts and our minds in a way that we could not imagine before, but that can change us in ways we never thought possible. This is why we need to always be asking God, asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts, to hear what we need to hear that we haven't heard before. Because it is by the word of God that we live. This is why we must never give up asking God to open the hearts of those who don't yet know him. Because though they may have heard the word of Christ 100 times, thousands of times, their hearts may not yet have been opened by the Spirit to really hear it. But we have to keep going to the Spirit, asking him to open us up in ways that we weren't before. So I want to close just by recapping. How do we hear God's voice? It's awfully hard to hear it in your heart telling you which job to take, which college to go to. Because there's a really good chance all those voices in there are really just your voice anyway. Don't mistake your voice for God's. Instead, seek God's voice where it is found, in the word of Christ, the word of God, Scripture. Read it, listen to it read, hear it in sermons, hear it in songs, hear it in communion, hear it from fellow Christians who can teach and admonish you, and allow it to go deep inside of you, and ask and expect the Holy Spirit to transform you from within and open you up to what you couldn't have heard otherwise. And pray for the Spirit to keep speaking God's word and opening hearts. Let's do that now. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are alive and that you speak and that your word is powerful and strong and that we're not on our own to figure it out. God, I thank you that you've given us the gift of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that you would open it up for us as individuals, as a community. Help us to hear what we need to hear. Lord, speak to us in ways that are obvious through Scripture. I pray, God, that your Spirit would put the words that we need to hear onto our heart and into our minds and to transform us by the renewing of our minds. Transform us by giving us new hearts. Lord, help to make us more Christ-like. Make us more Spirit-filled. Make us people who know your word as part of who we are, making us who we are. Shape us to be people who are able to go out into this world and share your word with the world around us, who desperately need to hear your good news. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you for the grace that you have shown in coming to be with us and to give your life to save us. And thank you that once you saved us, you didn't leave us alone, but you gave us your spirit to live inside of us and to empower us for every good work and word. Lord, we ask now that you would bless the rest of our time together worshiping you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.